Michael, do you remember me? Be honest.
It's been a while.
I know, it really has. I don't know. I hope I can remember how to be on the radio. Yeah, I think you push this button here and make the song.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley. I sound like bleep, I know. That's part of the reason you haven't heard me on the radio for a bunch of weeks, because I have that crud that's in my throat that gives me a hoarse voice, and I ought to be ashamed of myself. I never thought I was so vain, but it's just a really bad voice. So, but it's maybe it's not as bad as so that I shouldn't be on today. Anyhow, we've got a real special show for you, so stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Hey, now wait a second, Michael. There's no promo for sure for this, because this is such a special show today that there's no promo. But there should be the special fanfare. Now, do you have that in there, or do you have the Crossfire music or something like that? Yeah, you do have that, so you can play it from in there. Okay, yeah, go for it. Okay, good. Bet you're wondering what's so special that's so special that we don't even have a promo prepared for it, and we play the special fanfare music bit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know about our fill-in talk show host Richard Quigley, who last week had his wake. He had his wake because Richard was diagnosed with a terminal illness, some months back. And he's a pretty interesting character who's got a real interesting philosophy about looking at, boy, if that happened to me, I'd take a page out of your book. Richard, welcome back to KSCO.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
It's great to watch a pro at that board, you know. Cause,
oh, yeah, right. Oh, you're talking about Michael.
No, No. You know who I'm talking about. And as far as pipes go, I think it's my hoarseness that actually made my voice on this radio station, so I wouldn't worry about hoarseness.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
But, yeah, we did. Had a wake last weekend. It was an amazing event. And this is kind of as it's working out, Michael. This seems to be like the last of my 15 minutes, which is that's fine with me. I was hoping... I was hoping before I got much more press that there'd be an end somewhere. The Sentinel has just done article on article about this wake. They picked it up in the Mercury News and even the Aptos Times.
Does that surprise you? I mean, I don't hear about too many people who are present at their own wake, whilst still breathing.
Yeah, so it works out. I guess I took everybody by surprise. And the papers kind of got it wrong because people don't understand that behavior, which is, quite frankly, there's a lot of stuff I've done during my life that people didn't understand. But the wake idea came about because when I found out that this lymphoma was not a plaything, that it was the end game. Word started to leak out. I was letting some of my closer friends know, and I was trying to get business taken care of, all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. I don't have much, but I got to have it laid out, or, the fight for the scraps gets embarrassing. So anyway, as people began to find out about it, then they'd tell one another, and, Santa Cruz is still a relatively small community. And so people would come to me, the first thing they'd tell me is how sorry they were that, to be blunt about it, that I was dying. And, of course, I'd just look at them and say, well, I'm sorry you're dying,
Everybody's dying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you just have a sense that it's going to be, more of a closer time to now.
Yeah. Well, and no, it's been pretty much called. And the thing of it is that, yeah, every birth certificate comes with a death certificate. It's just not filled out, but it's in a paperwork box. And so anyway, there's one of the things I got to thinking about was the sadness that these people were expressing to me and about this whole thing. And I don't feel particularly sad about it. In fact, I guess, I guess I really don't feel sad about it at all. I could have a neurotic snit and walk around and stomp and all that stuff. And when I was all done, everything would be pretty much the same, you know.
Stomp.
So yeah. So I decided the my life has never been about bringing sadness to people. I've tried to televate. The world around me, you know, with humor and perspective and the like. And so it troubled me when I saw people being upset about this. And I'd been to a wake or two in my life. And having been to those wakes, one of the things that I noticed about them from my own perspective was how sad I was at the person that had passed away or died. I guess we should never use that word, I guess, but that they were, the prevailing thought that underlied the whole wake was, gee, I wish they were here to see all this and be with their friends and have this good time and everything with us. And everybody in the room sort of had that feeling underlying everything else. It was diminished. The good time was diminished by the fact that, the person wasn't there. So I thought, okay, let's do this. I'll pick a time and a date, and I'll just let everybody know we're going to do this wake, and we're going to do it so that there won't be that underlying blues to the whole thing. And I'll be there, and we'll have a few laughs, and a few folks will show up, and we'll have a great time. And then when the day comes that I finally do pass, if people want to get all remorseful about it and sad and do a thing that they wish I was there for and all that, they can do that. But at least I've provided a way of dealing with my death that doesn't leave people sad and empty and wishing they'd done something different.
I wasn't there for the whole time, but I was there for probably the last hour or so, and last Saturday afternoon, and there wasn't any sadness there. Everybody was happy.
Wasn't it wonderful?
It was terrific.
The tears were joy. My life has been.
I saw you well up a little bit, but I really didn't see anybody else. So.
Well, the welling up thing is, I think about this, and my face leaks a lot over this, you know, but it has to do with if anything, they're tears of joy. It's this overwhelming appreciation that people have shown for my life that I never expected. I wasn't out, you know. I've tried a whole lot of things, and if I'd have been as successful at anything as I would have been had I set out to make people feel good about the job I've done, then, you know, my life would have probably been different. But the reception, the people that were there, first of all, as I looked around, they made me get up and talk, and of course I hadn't even thought about that, because the idea of a living wake is pretty ridiculous, and to actually have the person you're having the wake for say anything, that was, you know, I never anticipated.
I think
that
people should take a page out of your book. I think it should become a regular thing, you know. Why not? It's always bothered me that these wonderful people die, and at their memorial services or funerals or whatever you want to call them, whatever the service is, all these people say wonderful things and eulogies. Why shouldn't eulogies be said when the person is still alive, so he or she could definitely, you know, hear the words themselves?
That seems to be why the newspapers picked up on this and told the story, is because the idea apparently is in their mind anyway novel, and you get the sense that.
In other words, eulogies, why can't eulogies be prehumous instead of posthumous?
Yes, like the one that you did for me on the radio station, by the way. That was very warm and heartfelt and moved me substantially.
It came from my heart, that's why. So.
But you and your mom have been, to me, as kind as anyone on this planet, and generous, and So I really, you know, I didn't deserve anything beyond that. You'd already given more than I deserved. And when your mom showed up, I was just thrilled to death, and I knew you were taking care of some business and were out of town and may or may not make it that day. In fact, there were a lot of people that have since told me, for one reason or another, they hadn't made it, maybe because they couldn't find it, or maybe because they had previous family obligations and stuff like that. And my attitude is if they wanted to be there, if they were there in their heart, they were there. And there were so many people that did make it. And it's like some folks think I was keeping score, and it wasn't, not at all. It was not at all. None of that.
Who would think that?
None of that stuff. The papers pointed out, you know, that I was doing it to find out how many people would show up. And that's ridiculous. I could have, on the list of reasons that I had to wait to find out how many people would show up is last on the list. I just didn't care about that. The people that care about me, each one of them is as large as the group that actually did show. You know, it was to give people an easier way to deal with my passing. And I'm settled with it, you know, it has to do with my base spirituality. I understand that everybody's going to die. And when I look at my life, I look at all the things that I've ever wanted. I haven't necessarily gotten everything I ever wanted, but I've always gotten everything I needed. And even though I would think I needed something, you know, I found out obviously that I didn't. But everything I really needed, I've had through a lifetime. I don't know what brought that about. If it's karma left over from a previous life, or maybe, you know, stopping one day to help some lady change her tire alongside the road set me up to forever, you know, have these blessings. I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that one after another, after another, after another, after another, I can't even count the number of blessings, even up to and including this cancer thing. You look at it, I've been a cigarette smoker since I was 12, which means 50 years smoking cigarettes, and it won't be lung cancer that takes me out. It's lymphoma. Lung cancer, very painful, very miserable, horrible way to die. Stroke, horrible, you know, just horrible things. And there's all kinds of ways of dying that are extremely painful and degrading, and they tax the families of the person that's dying and so on. And here I have this lymphoma. And lymphoma, the type of lymphoma that I have is non-Hodgkin's. And what it does is it basically attacks the immune system. There's not a lot of pain involved. What happens is one day it gets enough of the immune system to shut it down completely, as I understand it. And then something as simple as a cold. And within a matter of days, I'll lose all my strength and start sleeping more and then more and more. And chances are better than even that I'll actually pass in my sleep. So, and I look at all the different things, all the different choices, and like, this is a blessing. I mean, I'm going to die. That's given. And nobody gets out of here alive. And nobody ever died healthy. So, the blessing. Because, along with everything else, with the notice, even the notice aspect allowed me to do this wake. And I gotta tell you, I think that a lot of people looked at that were in attendance, and a lot of people looked at that read the paper and thought, you know, this is not a bad idea, O'Quigg came up with. And actually, I'm not the first person that's ever done this. I didn't know anybody else had until I did this. But there have been some other folks along the way that have had living wakes with the same result. It's really a phenomenal experience. And,
I want to talk about your spirituality, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Have you been a spiritual person all your life, or is this something that sort of happened one day?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question.
By the way, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Richard Quigley on the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Michael Z. I'm back in the saddle after umpteen weeks away. For which Richard filled in two or three times. Thank you, Richard.
My pleasure. It was great. We got some. We had a couple of real good shows in there.
You always had great shows and always interesting. But this is a different show because this is a show. This is not a show, you know, about what you think is interesting. It's a show about you.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm asking the questions here. I'm not asking many questions because you're answering. I'm fascinated by a lot of the things you're saying, but I do want to talk about your spirituality.
Well, okay. I have glimpses in my spiritual nature. When I look back, I look at things that marked where I ended up spiritually. One of them is my parents were Presbyterian, as I understand it, although we didn't spend a lot of time in church. But I do remember one Sunday, Easter Sunday, I got up and went with my neighbors who were, I don't remember what denomination they were, don't remember what church.
You were a kid?
Yeah, I was a kid. You know, I was probably 12, 13 years old. And I went to their church with them on Easter Sunday. And, of course, I didn't get my parents' permission. I just went. Always the rebel, I guess. And when I got home, the old man just beat the hell out of me for that one. That was wrong. And I'm thinking, well, you know, God, you want me visiting your house? You found a real strange way to reward me, you know?
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I remember back to. Excuse me. The second thing that flashes in the timeline is, Central Baptist Church in Bladensburg, Maryland. And I was 17, 18 years old, and I believed I'd found Jesus, and I was I'd become a born again Christian and baptized and everything in that church, and I was really wrapped up in Christianity. Used to go around knocking on doors and inviting people to come down to the church and stuff like that. And I was in the military at the time, and of course one day I hear over the news. Or through the grapevine that the preacher had run off with the all the money and the choir director's daughter, and taken off. So I looked at that and I said, "Well, whew, boy, some of that money I helped bring in." And so there, within a matter of, that was pretty traumatic. Within a matter of a couple of weeks from that day, I remember just a hell of a rainstorm going on there in Charleston. I was stationed in Charleston at the time, or D.C. So it had to be a year or so later when I was in Charleston. Big rainstorm, and I was depressed because I didn't know how to deal with life at that time at all. And I remember standing up on the top deck of the ship in the rain, just pouring down rain, lightning everywhere, and I'm yelling at the sky, you know, telling God, you know, you better do something to let me know that you're there and real, or you're going to lose me because this is, you know, this is it. This is the big one. Now step up or stand aside, one or the other, kind of a challenge.
Can't wait to hear what happened.
Nothing. Just some damn fool kid standing there screaming at the sky, you know? So, nothing. And for a lot of years, I had a bitterness toward established religions. In fact, today I guess I still hold a certain amount of bitterness toward established religion, which is not the fault of established religion so much as it was one preacher and his lack of a moral compass. And I, you know, as an old man, I can look back and think, boy, poor guy, what a terrible life he probably ended up having. Anyway, then there was my aunt, and she was my mother's sister, and she sort of ended up being my spiritual mother. And so the next time that I got involved really in spirituality was about 20 years ago, heavily.
Well, so wait a minute. I mean, spirituality and religion are different things, right?
Oh, yeah,
you can
absolutely.
You can be spiritual without being religious.
Absolutely.
I don't think you can be religious without being spiritual, but I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I never contemplated that. Uh-huh. But there, you know, I was just sort of, I was fed up, really fed up with the whole thing. When we had the, when God and I had our little, I had my monologue with God. And so, so then I ran into my aunt and she had always been there through my life, but it was about 22, 23 years ago. She was diagnosed with cancer. One of those uterine things that women get. And given a year to live, and I happened to be in a position at the time where I dropped what I was doing and moved in to take care of her, be with her for the last year. And boy, what an experience. What an incredible experience. She had, through my lifetime as a young man, she taught me how to live. And what she did in the next year was teach me about how to die. And it was without question another one of those blessings that you couldn't prepare for. She was just, in fact, I hope that the message and the things that I learned from her are being passed along through my dealing with this. Because all these
you're doing it right now on the radio.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. And I want to hit on the high points of that, but I want to hold with the spirituality for now, because she was a very spiritual woman, but not and went to different churches, but not a real religious woman. And that came from my granddad. Now, she believes my granddad is the one that submarined my whole life with conversations he used to have with me when I was an infant. Sit out on the front porch of his house, and he died of cancer, by the way. And he'd sit there and rock back and forth in his rocking chair and talk to me in low tones, and nobody really knew what he was talking to me about, but he'd used to sit out there and talk to me all the time. And she thinks that he was just planting seeds like crazy. So a lot of the things I never understood, why I thought this way or that, probably came from that stuff my grandfather did. And one of the things he did with my aunt was that she had become involved in one of these churches that requires, you know, that you go around and knock on doors and a whole bunch of stuff, and really got wrapped up in it. She was completely buried into this. This was her whole existence, was this church. And so one day my granddad showed up. He walked in and he says, "You're not going to that church you're going to anymore. You're going to go to this one." And he handed her a flyer from what they call a spiritualist church. And these guys, they're just, I mean, it's almost like, it's certainly not mainstream, okay? The Bible has some, if not little, standing and so on. It's just a completely different way of looking at things. And his explanation to her was, you need to understand that there's more than one reality. And so her spiritual foundation was built from that. And after having that conversation with her, I started to build mine. That's when my spirituality started to tighten up, because I understood then that as many different gods as there are, there's one. As many different lives as there are, there's one. As many different ways as there are to look at things is the only thing that might be different. But there's one life, one God, and they may very well be all the same. And so that was the foundation for her, and it became the way that I looked at life from there forward. And I've attended a couple, three churches on a regular basis since. The one that I think impressed me most, mostly because of the way they helped the kids, the way they dealt with their kids, was the Church of Religious Science. Now, this is not Scientology. Trying to remember the guy that wrote the book and founded the church. But they were exciting because of
that,
the way
they published something called Science of Mind.
Yes, yes, okay. And I remember this is about the time I'd lost my aunt, and there was a lady friend I was dating, and she belonged there, and she wanted me to go with her, and I did, and they're very very loose knit on custom and stuff. I mean, that I'd been in the Baptist and Presbyterian church, where everything is laid out, you know, in a certain way. Everything is very regimented. And in my experience at Church of Religious Science, it was not. But what got me was that they teach kids, that the young people, in fact, they taught generally that people are whole and natural and perfect and complete. You know, God is perfect and everything that God built is perfect. And there you go. In fact, if you look at Science of Mind in the glossary, where they talk about the definition of terms, sin is defined as a mistake. And it says the result of a mistake is a consequence. And what a liberating way to deal with it. Now, I know that there are folks out there who think sin is sin, but the kind of life you can build by understanding that sin is a mistake.
Wait a minute, if it's not a mistake, what is it? What are these folks that you're talking about thinking?
Well, you know, it's a defiance of God, or it's a some sort of joining with Satan or some other, you know, thing. Well, but
a mistake.
Yeah, and the result of a mistake is a consequence.
Sure.
But So they made, but the end of the service, Michael, is what got me. Because here they got all these kids that are learning this from the ground up. And I've found in my life that the most crippling thing that, people live through and live with is low self-esteem. They don't feel good about themselves for one reason or another. And is that absence of self-esteem that causes people to allow themselves to be treated less than right at any given time, you know, as someone's equal or better, as children of God, as it were. And so at the end of the service, here's this stage, and they bring all the kids in from Bible school, which is where they are when they were doing the church service, and they get them all up on the stage. And here it is, here's 150, 200 kids sitting up there. And they commence to begin to sing, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head or some such of a thing. Something you would not expect to hear in a church, but just a very uplifting song. And I'm looking at every one of those kids and realizing the start that they have on their life. And it's just, I mean, it was just too beautiful. So I never really got that tied into that church. But the perspectives that they carried and everything, I very much adhered to. So that, and several reads from Richard Bach, and I think my foundation for my spirituality was pretty much made. But probably the most influential book I've ever read was Illusions by Richard Bach.
Right. We're listening. We are listening. Yeah, we are, because I'm listening. We're listening to Richard Quigley, our special guest on today's Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Michael Z, and we'll probably open the phone lines a little bit, give other people a chance to say hello to Richard. If you want to, if you missed his wake last week, here's a great opportunity to repent. No, that's not
a yeah, no, but say hi and ask whatever questions, you know.
Numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. We're going to be on right up until noontime. And we're going to take a little commercial break right now, and we will come back with a good hour and a half more on the Saturday special. So do stay with us.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Are you hearing that sound in the background? What is that? Okay, go ahead, Richard. Yeah, what do you hear? So you're hearing something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be quiet and listen. And I'm wondering if people over the, you know, listening on the air can hear that. I just don't know what that is. Is that KOMY? Anyhow, not good, ladies and gentlemen. But especially since this is a wonderful program that we don't want any interference from anybody or anything, even though we're very proud that we have the finest technical difficulties of any radio station in the world. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. But let's go to our next commercial here from whom I believe. Well, there's a very good chance that our next commercial is from the top mortgage company in all of Santa Cruz County. And the reason they're the top mortgage company in Santa Cruz County is because they advertise on KSEO quite fervently.
the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Okay, welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special with a special guest, Richard Quigley. My name is MZ, and if you want to call us, 479-1080 or 477-1340, the phone number to call, and we have lines open. So, yeah, what Mike? Were you going to say something? Or was I hearing things? I must be hearing things. Let's just go to the phone lines here to put whomever on the air. Hello, whomever. Who's this?
Yeah, hi. It's Kate Wells, whomever.
Hi. It's the Kate Wells?
Oh, my goodness. I think so. There probably are several others, but I'm calling to say that I was honored to be one of the attendees at the wake. And in uncharacteristic humility, I think Richard has really downplayed the historic proportions of the event that happened on November 12th. People came from Wisconsin, Nevada, at least one judge, several law enforcement officers, a lot of bikers, all freedom fighters came together. All political affiliations.
Kate, was there anybody there that you wouldn't have expected to be there? Someone who might have been a detractor of Richard's?
Oh, God.
Or were they all admirers?
I
suggested in the little promo that I did that ran on the air here on KSCO that it'd be a really classy thing for Mark Tracy to show up.
Right.
And of course, I didn't expect that he would, and he didn't. But I'm wondering if there might have been someone else whom you wouldn't have expected to show up who did.
You know, I really wasn't surprised at all. I wasn't surprised at all at the people who were there. Like I said, I mean, everyone from Robert Norris on the left to you.
Well, you certainly should have expected that I would be there. My gosh!
But I wanted to say that, you know, as I sat there listening to one after another person get up and talk about what a special influence Richard had on their life, I realized that part of Richard's magic is that he made each one of those people feel like they were special to him. And in my life, you know, of knowing Richard, which is, you know, in excess of 20 years.
I was going to ask, okay.
Yeah,
how did you become acquainted?
He was one of my first clients. And in a case he had down in San Benito County.
You know, you're a lawyer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what field which field do you specialize?
Well, you might guess if I'm associated with Quigley that I'm a civil rights attorney.
Okay.
But
right.
Interestingly enough, we come from opposite political spectrums, but you know, we still converge on the issue of human rights.
Right.
But the thing that happened was so amazing because there was networking between people who really would not have associated in the outside world.
Strange bedfellows, yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And this is something I've been trying to do for years, is try to get people to see their commonality in terms of who we're really fighting here. You know, we got the right wing saying, well, you know, let those homeless people fall off the end of the earth, and you have the left wing saying, well, you know, those guys shouldn't be able to have guns. Listen, we're all fighting the government. You know, we're all fighting the same foe, and the government loves it as long as we're fighting amongst ourselves. You know, and we really need to bring people together to see what common ground they have to know what the real enemy is here. So it's a government that believes that it can instruct us in how to live our daily lives. So anyway, we have decided that we're going to have the first annual Quigley Wake.
Same date next year?
Well, probably as close as possible, and we're of course expecting Quigley to be there.
Good. Okay, good.
You said that. That's that neurotic snit I was telling you about a while ago. I don't need to have one because my friends are for me.
Right. Right.
The one thing that hit me that Kate mentioned was the cross section. It was the most amazing thing. I mean, there was this huge bureaucrat from the Department of Motor Vehicles that I've known for years, and he was funny and articulate and just great to be there, you know. And at the extreme end, on the other side, there were young people there who have been labeled by our community down in Aptos as riffraff, who are some of the finest spirits in this county, just wonderful young people, and everything in between. I mean, she's right. Lawyers, businessmen, political activists, and in the freedom fighter column, my God, I was standing among giants. I was there with Tony Pan Sanfilippo, the man who's been fighting motorcyclist rights for over 35 years.
Who flew out from Wisconsin to be there.
Flew out from Wisconsin, yeah, from Milwaukee. Probably $1,000 out of his pocket for that round trip ticket in the hotel. Just amazing. If somebody had asked me if I would do that, it's real hard to get me in one of them flying tubes anyway, but
yeah.
You know, I don't know that I'd necessarily have or lay down it, but he was there. B.E. Smith drove down from Shasta County. It's a 10, 11, 12 hour drive. B.E. Smith is one of the great constitutionists of our time. A freedom fighter, extraordinaire. And one of the guys that's taught me so much about how, you know, to work with the system and how to seek justice in the courts and the system. Don Blanchett, a friend of mine out of, living in Grass Valley now. He was the one that taught me how to stand on the streets, with these guys. Steve Bianco, an incredible freedom fighter, lives down in San Diego, truck driver, one of the most brilliant minds on the planet. And I just looked around me, you know, just the Freedom Fighter cash alone was unbelievable. But again, when I looked out across, that when they called me up to speak, had I prepared for it, I probably would have had something real eloquent to say. But as it worked out, the best I could do was to talk about how stupid it was to be messing with the Cuban when they made such a fine cigar, because somebody had given me a Cuban cigar at the start of the day and I was enjoying it. And what I would have said, you know, in hindsight, is that as I stood there, I realized that I was getting a preview, that I really was getting a look at what it was like to be standing among angels, because the people that were there are the finest, they're the finest cut of human being that you can imagine. I'm not saying that all the great people in the world that were there. I'm just saying that all the people that were there are great people in this world. They're all honest people. They're all honorable. They're positive, you know, in the way that they approach their life the circle of people that I like to consider my friends and that call me their friends are so much better than I am at every level. I was just humbled. I was humbled by the whole thing. It was an extremely humbling and joyful experience. It was a tough day. It was a beautiful day.
Well, Kate, thanks for calling in.
I just had one more quick thing I wanted to say, and that was that Ray Grunike was there. Ex-attorney Ray Grunike.
Yeah.
And one of his comments was that every attorney needs an outlaw to teach them what the real law is.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, wow.
And I just want to say that I've been honored for the last 25 years to have the best outlaw as my teacher that I can think of. And by the way, if DiCenzo thinks you're going to heaven, who am I to question? Okay?
Yeah, exactly. Did you see that? Did you see that cartoon, Michael?
I did. It was great.
I thought it was so cute.
All right. I love you.
There goes Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
Bye-bye. For calling. It opens up a line at 479-1080. We have plenty of lines open at 477-1340. So give us a call if you want to talk to Quig here on the Saturday special at 10 45. It's MZ on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, with the Saturday special. We're talking with Richard Quigley, okay, who's going to be going on a trip one of these days, the ultimate trip here, and he's talking about his upcoming demise, actually, doing it with you know, a great spirit, and this is something that's pretty hard for most people to talk about. It's hard for me to talk about, but it's getting easier, you know, when you have Richard in the room with you here, because he just makes you feel real comfortable talking about things that that you really, I think, should feel comfortable talking about and not uncomfortable, right?
Well, foundation. I was talking about my aunt a while ago and all the incredible things I learned from her about this dying thing while she was dying. I remember having the conversation with her. And it's the one a lot of people have asked me, pretty much the same words. I sat down her in the bed one night while she was probably a month away, a month and a half away from leaving. And I said, okay, let's cut the crap, lady. You're running out of time. You're going to die. What's going through your head? And she says to me, it's just passing through another door. The only difference is don't know what's on the other side. And then the next thing out of her mouth just floored me. She says that the only thing I'm worried about is who's going to be there for you. And I thought, my God, you know, and I reprimanded her. Come on, you know, you're the one that's dying. If you haven't provided me everything that I've ever needed, you know, and more, then you could live 1,000 years and you wouldn't do that, you know. So let that worry go away. Don't carry that one with you, you know. But. I wanted
to, like, a worried about everybody but herself type person. My father was like that. The day before he died, or the night, we didn't know that he was, but he said to me and my mom, he said, "This must be really hard on you guys." I mean,
yeah,
I was just like thinking of everybody else but himself. You know?
Yeah, so at that moment, what I wanted to do was to have the spiritual awareness that would put me in that space where she was with those comments.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've gotten
there.
You got
it. Oh, no question. No question. All right, let's go to Deputy John, who has a quick comment. Hi, Deputy John. Welcome to the Saturday special with Quig and MZ.
Hey, Richard. I'm going to miss you and the fat lady at the Blues Festival.
Oh, yeah, John. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Well, I've been off the beat for a while. You know, I got hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some surgery, and then I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I know I'm going to miss you around town.
Now, are you somebody who gave Richard a ticket at one time or other?
Oh, heck no, I never gave Richard a ticket.
No, John and I go way back. He had the opportunity to write one time, and that's a great story. I'm not going to tell it here because it's too long. But
Richard, there'll be stories that'll be happening many years from now.
You got to be friends with a lot of the deputies who did write you tickets, right?
My friend. Well, yes, absolutely. You know, people think because I'm a freedom fighter and that I challenge authority is the way they like to call it, that somehow or other I challenge authorities and I'm blind about it.
No.
And that's never been true.
You're just a colorful guy. I really enjoyed the last, I guess, 15 years or more.
Yeah.
Seeing you here and there, you know, and
this is one of the fine cops that we have in our deputies department, and I'm not giving his last name. His buddies know who he is, but I'm not going to get him in trouble with the bad cops.
That's okay, Richard.
But I want to tell you something. If he was as bad as they ever got, we wouldn't have any problems at all. I can tell you that. John is a great cop. He's got
ultimate compliment. Huh,
he's got great heart. He's got honor and integrity. He's got everything that we want in a peace officer. And John's always, he's long, long been one of my favorites.
Right back at you, too.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, I'm going to go. I'm going to do a little therapeutic duty on my back here, so I will.
Well, you take care of yourself, and don't let them short you on taking care of you, my friend.
It's a constant battle.
Well, did that not happen in the line of duty?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, don't let them step away from their responsibility.
Actually, Richard, didn't I talk to you just a few minutes after that happened?
Yeah, I remember. Is that the one?
That's the one.
Well, that woman threw you down on the ground and tried to make love to you? No, I guess that's not exactly what happened. But
that didn't happen in the line of duty.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
That happened on when I was off. No.
I got it. All right, John.
All right, buddy.
Thank you much.
Thanks for calling in. 477-1340 if you want to talk to Richard Quigley. Here's Kelly in Felton.
And by the way, there's so many of those. I just want to reiterate that.
Okay.
We got so many good deputies like this. Good, rock-solid cops, which is why we should have no patience with the bad ones.
So, because there aren't very many bad ones, or are there some?
No, no. The same. The society,
but just two or three of them could ruin it.
And they just turn things on their ear, and that's why I get so livid when I deal with them. You know,
back when you were doing the regular radio show here, I mean, you were hammering Sheriff Tracy, you know, for a while. Were you hammering other people? Did you mention names of bad cops?
Oh Lord, yes,
a lot.
Hell yes.
Uh-huh.
How else do you expose a liar? You find a liar in uniform carrying a gun and a badge, you better tell people who he is. How else do you expose him? You bet I did.
Uh-huh.
And I never, if I knew it, I'd say I knew there's a liar and I'd tell why. And if I didn't know it and I suspected it, I'd say I suspected it. But I rarely beat anybody up unless I knew. And I knew the liars that I called out were liars. And and ain't nothing worse than a lying cop. Nothing worse than a lying cop. I just, it is the worst thing an officer can do is to take the truth. The only way the system works is on truth. And if you feed it BS, it's gonna dispense BS. And then people lose respect and the whole damn society goes to hell.
Let's hear what Felton Kelly has to say.
Hi, Kelly.
Oh, hi. Hi, Richard. First heard you on KSTO a few weeks ago before I even knew you were dying of your wake, and I first time I ever called KSTO, and I'm kind of nervous right now, but man, I was about to call, I wanted to call you up for my lawyer. You just sound the things you said. I even have about dealing with anybody that's had a bad experience with the law.
Oh yeah,
how it just sticks with you forever.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Or the legal system.
The legal system. The quote, justice system,
It'll change your life forever. And both directions, by the way.
Yeah.
Both directions. That's what these judges seem not to understand, is that when they do their job and they do their job honorably, and people walk out of there and have been treated with that kind of honor and respect and dignity and truth, that changes their life equally, you know, in a positive way. Those judges, I shudder. If I could get angry, I'd get angry. I do not understand
rare that you could get a judge, a sitting judge to come on a talk radio show where people can, like me, can ask them questions, or certainly the public would call in and ask. They don't want to, they're in an ivory tower.
Well, it's not exactly ivory.
No, we've done it once. I know it's not, but in their minds it is.
No, I don't necessarily think that's where they're coming from. I mean,
If they say something, if they're asked something that they're uncomfortable or that shouldn't answer, they can just say, "Hey, I can't answer that, or I don't feel comfortable answering that."
Well, I know, and then they get beat up because they're dodging the question or whatever. I can understand why they limit.
We've only had one judge that we've. I don't know how many we've asked over the years. I know we have asked quite a number, and only one has taken us up on it. We had a Saturday special with a judge once.
I'm gonna guess
10 or 12 years ago.
Let me guess, Tom Kelly.
Correct.
Yeah, ain't that something? How did I know that?
Yeah, how did you know that?
Well, he's a straight shooter.
Uh-huh.
He's a straight shooter. Tom will answer anything, you know?
Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy. He showed up at my wake.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't surprise you.
Oh, it knocked me out. Because politically, I know there were a couple, three other judges would have liked to have shown up, but how could they? I mean, they'd be
ostracized.
Yeah, well, their judgment would be put in question because people tend to believe what they want to believe, and if they want to believe bad things about me, there's all kinds of evidence to support bad things about me. But whether or not it's valid evidence, who knows? You can go up on the internet and find out that I was stalking some woman that used to manage the Gottschalk store down there in Aptos, and that's absolutely ridiculous. But that's that's part of the way that, that Sheriff Tracy and his deputies wrote the history of that, my
That's one of the terrible things about the internet, that but there's so many other good things about it. For example, you know, 10 years ago, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League that our family used to support financially, which has been hijacked by a bunch of lefty, you know, scuzzbags,
right,
you know, portrayed me, Michael Zwirling, as a skinhead, you know, because we interviewed somebody shortly after 9/11 who was in a citizen militia group. So that made me, an Aryan brother.
And you live with that forever.
And that's right. And that was published on the internet. But back then they were still using snail mail a lot. There were thousands, hundreds of thousands of newsletters about, you know, Extreme People Watch that went out that, yep, that gave my name on. I'm not an extreme person. Anybody who listens to KSCO knows that I'm a person who just wants everybody to be able to hear everything.
Yeah, that's exactly all. Well, there's only one thing that you ever put a mute on me about, and you didn't let me play that tape of them beating up my girlfriend. But I understood that. I understand it today. Mm-hmm. And it's for the same reason that they don't show beatings and stuff on television. Some things are just so harsh that the audience is so shocking to the audience, you just can't take them there. You know, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And I understood that. And that was a taste item. But you guys never even suggested that I go anywhere as opposed to somewhere else. This position here behind a microphone at this station was always just, you know, have at it, Quig. Do what you're going to do, you know. And though I wasn't
personally involved in this Sheriff Tracy thing, you know, other staff members were, and they were appalled. And of course, when we found out about it, we were appalled. I mean, how dare the sheriff hold a gun to our head like that, saying if you don't get this guy off the air,
yeah,
then we're going to stop cooperating with you, and you're not going to get news stories about things. It's unconscionable.
Yeah. And part of that
this is from a guy that I went to school with and respected. I just don't understand what I guess this whole power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess.
I never had a chance to ever get to know Mark Tracy, interestingly enough. Yeah. I only know his work.
He used to be a very nice person. Wonderful, wonderful guy when I went
can
to
I,
school
can
with
I
him.
Can I interrupt? So.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Oh. also, I like what you just said, Quigley, recently about the people that weren't at your wake. I've never met you, but I'm going to meet you. But I didn't know what time it was going to end. But I drove. I have a car that was pretty much on its last leg. But I drove. I got to say, you have some nice neighbors up there too, where you live.
Oh, you went to my house.
I went all.
You were one of those.
By the time I had found where the street was, and I drove way the heck up there, and so. Oh, you just some neighbors that actually led me all the way up.
Yeah.
And I was driving around, and my car's making all this noise, but it had been long gone. But
well, I appreciate you coming up. I wondered who it was that came up.
You know, I liked what you just said, though, on the radio, though, that people that weren't there that tried whatever, they were there in heart.
Cause yeah.
The things I've been through with this, quote, justice system. And my last name's Raven Wolf. It seems like as soon as I changed my name, last name legally, stuff happened. I mean, that name just sticks up, you know.
Yeah.
A police officer's going to know Raven Wolf, you know. Yeah. It's going to, you know, how.
This person
stay in touch with us, Kelly, okay? But we got to go now. Thanks
okay.
for calling the Saturday special.
Anyhow, God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, hon.
Bye-bye.
Here's Asa. We can hold you over into the next hour, Asa, but unless you're short. But welcome to the Saturday special.
You know, this is my on-air girlfriend.
Well, anyway, I just was just really, really sad that I wasn't among the ones that were there at the party, because I had all these things. The thing I mainly wanted to say, Quig, that I'm really going to miss you, because I always looked forward to hearing whatever you had to say, because you were an educator for me. Because you lived in a world that I never, ever managed to touch my little toe in, thank God.
Yeah.
don't speak in the past tense, so you can
expanded my consciousness. I mean, I was able to learn a little bit more about what went on when you had to deal with that.
Asa, do you want us to hold you over into the next hour?
Oh, I sure.
Okay, we'll do that, but I'm going to give what we call a tease in the radio business. It won't be right after the news and the weather, but it'll be a little after that, because right after the news and weather, we're going to have a brand new K's commentary, and this is a powerful one. It's a real powerful one. So stay with us. It's your favorite radio station, KSCO Santa Cruz with MZ and Richard Quigley. Another hour. Stay with us.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Carton. Iraqi bloodshed. A suicide attacker has driven a car into a Shiite funeral procession north of Baghdad. Earlier today, a car bombing near a crowded marketplace killed 13 people and wounded 21. Also today, the military announcing the death of a U.S. soldier injured on Thursday. President Bush now in China, pressing Beijing on religious freedom, trade problems, and currency reform. Before departing the Asia-Pacific summit in South Korea, the president spoke to U.S. troops, repeating a vow to stay the course in Iraq.
We will stay on the offensive. We will not wait to be attacked again. We will not rest or tire until the war on terror is won.
He said sober judgment must prevail over emotional calls for a pullout. Fiscal responsibility, the Dems charging the Bush administration with a lack of it.
Under President Bush, we have run up the biggest deficits in the history of the world. The reckless fiscal policies of President Bush and the Republican-controlled Congress last month pushed America's debt over the $8 trillion mark. That is over $27,000 for every man, woman, and child in America.
California Congressman Dennis Cardoza in the weekly radio address. A magnitude 6.5 quake has rattled two islands off the coast of Sumatra, triggering a tsunami alert. Last December, a quake struck the region, causing a massive tsunami that killed at least 180,000 people. No word yet of damage or casualties. It looks like Florida won't be boarding up for yet another hurricane. In the busiest season on record, it's Tropical Storm Gamma. Is it eyeing Florida?
We're not forecasting it to become a hurricane. It does look like it could become perhaps a strong tropical storm. But if it did, best opportunity, it appears, for it to become a hurricane would be sometime on Monday when it moves northeastward towards the western portions of Cuba.
National Hurricane Center Stacy Stewart. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at EnergyHog.org, and from EnergyHog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to EnergyHog.org, or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Pakistan's president says a world gesture of nearly $6 billion for quake relief will never be forgotten. The pledge came out of a make-or-break donors conference today. Aid groups say with winter coming, quake survivors face hunger, exposure, and disease. A warning to those who hire illegal immigrants. Federal officials arresting 125 workers at a construction site for a Walmart distribution center in Pennsylvania. The workers will be deported, and employers who knew about it will be charged. Thinking of not getting a flu shot? You may want to rethink that decision.
Get vaccinated. That from a Mayo Clinic doctor who says most people don't realize how deadly the regular flu is. That one in every 10,000 Americans will die from it in the next few months when it can be prevented with a simple shot. Dr. Greg Poland says it's still possible to get the flu even with a shot, but you probably won't be hospitalized or develop pneumonia. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
And in the file, strange but true, a plant that smells like rotting meat is expected to draw huge crowds this week at the U.S. Botanic Garden in Washington, D.C. It stinks when it blooms, which is supposed to begin by Thanksgiving Day. In 2003, some 10,000 folks turned out to see the plants bloom in just a single day. Harry Potter fans packing theaters this weekend, conjuring up some box office hocus pocus. The Goblet of Fire debuts.
Harry Potter. Such an honor it is.
Dobby the Elf's a big fan. And millions of muggles are too. The Goblet of Fire, enchanting critics. And movie ticket service Fandango reports magical advance sales, the most since the last Star Wars.
You're a wizard, Harry.
And we'll see what kind of box office sorcery he can conjure when the results come out Sunday. Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
And teenage girls already going crazy.
Well, he is kind of cute. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
KSCO 1080 on your dial.
That's right, you are listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Michael Williams, and I've got your Central Coast weather forecast for today, Saturday, November 19th, 2005. Looks like areas of morning low clouds and fog, which have obviously burned off here at the station, mainly near the ocean and bay, otherwise mostly sunny. Highs from around 60 near the ocean to the upper 70s well inland. Tonight we've got increasing coastal low clouds and patchy fog as well, spreading well inland overnight, otherwise mostly clear. Lows from the mid-40s to mid-50s. On the bay today, we got a northeast wind of 5 knots becoming west in the evening. Wind waves 1 foot or less. One west swell 2 to 5 feet at 15 second intervals, and tonight a west wind of 5 knots as well becoming northeast after midnight. It is currently 68 degrees here at the station. We take you to hour 2 of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Yeah, hey, Michael, should we do Kay's commentary before the hour 2 opener or after the hour 2 opener? What's more appropriate?
Maybe before. If it has to do with the show after.
No, it's about spirituality, actually, so it does have something to do with the show.
Then open the show and do it after.
All right, we'll do it this way here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Yeah. Well, welcome to hour number 2. There's a lot of good stuff ahead.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
To those listeners who do not believe in the existence of God, I respectfully suggest that you do not listen to this commentary. It will have no meaning for you. Holy Moses and Jesus Christ, undoubtedly the two most compelling moral figures of our current civilization, because they were chosen by God to deliver to the world his messages for the endurance of a good and ethical society. History records that after God created the world, he also created different civilizations to occupy it one at a time. Each civilization grew and evolved, and because of human lust and power, each gradually became so morally bankrupt that in disgust, God decided to discard them and start all over again. The present civilization is now showing unmistakable signs of so much moral decay that God may discard it also. He is very angry with us. Witness the unusual and frequent abundant catastrophes our world is experiencing. About 6 centuries ago, Moses was summoned by God to receive and disperse to his people, the Jews, his 10 commandments, so that gradually all people would learn to worship God by living productively and morally, i.e. not stealing, nor lying, nor killing, nor coveting, always honoring parents, etc. In short, rules to live by to be good human beings. Our civilization presently is being assaulted by many people who have rejected religion, rejected the family unit, are trying vigorously to legalize same-sex marriage. These same people created legislation to allow pregnant 12-year-old girls to obtain abortions without the knowledge of their parents. Our society is going downhill rapidly. The wrong people are taking over, which does not bode well for the continued existence of this civilization. Several centuries after God delivered to Moses his commandments, a very special human being was born. His name was Jesus Christ. As a young adult, he wandered many places with the unique and simple message, which was, "Love thy neighbor and turn the other cheek." It is moot to argue whether Jesus was or was not divine. Suffice to say that his was a very special message because he offered the concept of goodness to a world that needed to hear it again. These teachings of Jesus were so new and so foreign to a dog-eat-dog, belligerent and destructive world that many embraced his concepts, and so Christianity was born. About a couple of centuries ago, our nation, a democracy, was created by our forefathers, and in their wisdom, they combined the moral beliefs of both Judaism and Christianity as an ethical basis and mission statement for the new incredible country. So, from its inception, the U.S. has been and always will be a Judeo-Christian nation. We pray that our democracy will continue to prosper and endure despite the negative pressures of decadent, godless forces in our midst. So, God, please continue to bless America. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Wow, powerful stuff here. Boy, everybody should have a mom like I do. Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. It's MZ.
I second that about your mom. And you know, it takes a lot of courage, particularly in Santa Cruz, that takes it to stand in favor of or against, I guess, all the agnostic and atheist beliefs. But B.E. Smith, I was talking about a while ago.
Yeah.
One of the things I was hoping is that sometime between
now. He's the one who came down from Shasta?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometime between now and when I check out, I hope I can get down here and do a Saturday special, because I'd love to get him either here in the studio or on the phone and let him walk through a story he told me about how important God is to this country and how it is that we exist virtually at breaking centuries.
Does he have a telephone? We can call him now.
If I had his number with me, we could, and he'd speak up in a minute.
Yeah.
But he's got a great story about how Samuel went to God, and I'm not going to tell it right, so I won't do it. I won't do it in detail. But Samuel went to God to tell God that man wanted a king, and God apparently said, "Well, why would they want a king? They got me." And well, that's just what they want, God. And God said, "Okay, then they can have a manly king, and I'll just step down." And they can do whatever happens. And he said that condition has existed with all these godless societies ever since, until July 4th, 1776, when this nation was founded, which was a kingless nation, but not a godless nation. And the reason that this country has been so blessed over these centuries is because of that aspect of it, and to the degree that they've turned away from that, we have turned away from that as a nation, that we will suffer. If we insist on having a king, God's not going to argue. He gave us free will, and we'll free will ourselves right into oblivion if we're not careful.
Right. You're listening to... Excuse me. God, it's crept back, this crud in my throat. You're listening to the... creeping back crud in the throat, MZ on Saturday Special, hour number two with Richard Quigley. Give us a call at 477-1340, and you can get on the radio with us. But we're going to go back to Asa, who only got to talk for about 40 seconds before we had to go to the news. So here's Asa back on the air. Hey, Asa.
Well, I'm glad I've got back. And one of the things I want to say to Quig is, since we're in a spiritual mode, that I think he's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. along with Kate. And I just think that we have to give thanks all the time when we have this, even the little leaven, and we certainly need, I am grateful for you, all the stuff you've told us, Bequig, about how the justice system works. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, that's, if anything, you know, I have been blessed to be able to do that. Again, how I ended up on this radio station, nobody will ever know. I don't think that's, I don't remember. I know for years I tried to get on here to kind of point the finger and sound the alarm, you know.
That's an example of intelligent design.
There you go. What if I don't know how I got here, but I got here anyway? Yeah, thank you. But you have always been one of my favorite callers, Ace. I've always considered you my on the air girlfriend, I've always been honored by your opinions and your voice and your caring.
Well, I just really think that KSCO was lucky to have you for the little time it did. And incidentally, entirely certain that you're going to escape.
Well, and I haven't run up any white flags, you know. I'm sitting here, I did my medical routine before I come down this morning, and I'm doing everything the doctor tells me. He's hopeful that we can find some way to have me sitting around a year from now, 2 years from now, talking about what a great wake it was. So I'm not surrendering squat.
I'm just
dealing with the things the way they appear to be gone.
In case they're right, I want to wish you bon voyage.
Well, thank you very much.
And I look forward to those that are ready.
And
muzzle
tov. And muzzle tov also.
Yes. And we will in any case see one another again, dear.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Yes.
There goes Asa. Here comes Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, how was that? I think you were saying Tammy.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, my eyeballs.
Okay, everybody makes that mistake.
Yeah, excuse
me. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's a very small screen. That's one of the flaws of the software we're using for call screening.
Oh.
I'm one of those. I've decided today only to be one of the people that I never am. In other words, a person who doesn't accept responsibility for his own actions.
Really?
Yeah, only today. Every other time, there's no question that, you have to admit that Tammy does look like Tommy if your eyeballs aren't. Right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm really grateful. I waited a long time, and I just thought, I feel, Richard, I talked to you once before just for a short time, and you introduced me to Kate Wells, and, everything that you've done on the radio actually has helped me so much. I just want you to know that. And I want to join with you. I want to expose these liars that are out there. We've got a problem.
Hey, Mark Tracy handpicked a sheriff to succeed him.
Yeah, right.
Why don't you, just for the heck of it, in case you don't, in case you finally do kick off here.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Mr. Robbins?
Well, no, not him. But like Mark tapped him, and anointed him. Why don't you anoint somebody like Tammy or like Kate Wells or someone to carry on with your work? You know what I'm saying?
I'm willing to help you try to live a little longer so you can help.
Well,
me.
Sure. Everybody wants, for sure.
Yeah.
But
well, the thing is that if you feel like you're standing up alone against the sheriff's department, i.e., county workers union, whatever you want to call it, altogether, it's, as an individual, completely overwhelming. Unless you have serious money, you don't have a way to fight.
Well, or good, good fortune, blessings. The only reason that I was able to fight Mark Tracy is because of Kate Wells. And this woman is, for all she says of me, back at her and more. She's an amazing lawyer. She's an amazing human being. She has compassion beyond belief, probably to a fault. She is a brilliant woman, extremely bright, a woman and an advocate, lawyer. Comparable to none. She's just, there's not enough I can say good about her. And she has made whatever successes I've had, because she's been watching my back, she's made them all possible. So I dearly love and respect her.
When you talk about pointing the finger and sounding the alarm, in terms of exposing things, is the most effective way to do that by radio or by law, by lawsuit?
I don't really know.
He does them both.
I'll do anything I have to. I'll go out. I sat down there in front of the courthouse with a recording of them beating on my girlfriend, and handed out flyers and copies of the CD, sitting right out there on the wall in front of the courthouse, playing that thing on the loop.
I wish I had the time to do that.
Yeah, listen to what they did. Listen well, and you know, talk about
which maybe it was an error that I didn't permit you to put that on the air.
No.
However,
no,
we talked about that last hour. But what could have prevented you from having a little public address system and playing that for the public to hear?
Well,
you, yourself, you know.
Yeah, it's well, I did that. In effect,
oh, you did
that. I had that big boombox down there, and I played that thing out in front of the courthouse on a loop. And I'll tell you what, when the women came by and they heard that screaming and everything that was going on, they listened to the tone of those officers and they got the flyer on what was going on. It got some attention. It got some attention. I don't know that it moved anything I could see, but it got some attention. And that thing about the time, Tammy, what people fail to understand is that at least I appreciate the fact that I've been, again, blessed with the opportunities to have the time. But you can only do what you can do. And nobody gets to measure that but you. Nobody can sit there and say, well, you should have done this or should have done that. Not with my okay, because, you know, I don't do should anyway. But I consider that, like Thoreau said. Thoreau said, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do something. And something is definitely better than nothing. And people get too bogged down, and they expect a given result to happen. And that, no, what you do is you take satisfaction in the action. Whatever you do, there's your satisfaction. And if something else comes from it that's tangible and you can see it and taste it and feel it, like I've been able to in so many cases, but not the rest of the time, then so much the better. But you've got to take satisfaction in doing what it is that you can do. And notwithstanding the apparent lack of results, because every little straw is one more straw, and you never know which one's going to break the camel's back.
Right. I've got a personal story that's so devastating, it's hard to even imagine, but it's involving the death of my son at birth. He lived 7.5 hours. And so it's hard for me to say that, but he was killed by these deputies, these officers that came into my life one day when I was sick. Last year, one of my children got across the street to a nearby park playground, and he came back to the house with me, insisted he had to come in the house, and I said, no, I've been sick, you can't come in my house. I don't feel well, you know, I'm not expecting visitors, you know, I'd really rather not. Don't you have to have a warrant? No, I don't have to have a warrant. When it comes to the safety of a minor, I have to make sure that I can inspect the place and make sure everything's safe. And I said, well, you know, I know everything's safe. It just, they got across the street. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. I promise you, nothing will ever happen. There's been no harm. Nothing's wrong. Please just let me go. You know, just let's go on with our day. I'm sick. I've got 6 kids to take care of. I'm tired. Please, can you just go do your duty and, you know, let me take care of my children. Even though there was a small error in what happened, there was no harm. There was nothing wrong. And then after everything was said and done, they put me through a trial, supposedly for me endangering my child, for her getting out of the gate and getting across the street. It's a very small street. It's a one-lane road past our house. But anyway, they call it a street. It's actually a road, whatever. But the thing is that there was no harm. There was nothing done. But they put me through a trial when I was 9.5 months pregnant. They waited and waited and kept putting it off and putting it off until I was fully pregnant. And then they insisted on pushing through with the trial without any mercy. And I went to Dominican. I went to the Pregnancy Resource Center. I went to all these places to try to say, I can take this. I'm not afraid because I didn't do anything wrong.
Tammy?
But my child should not be jeopardized. And no. No one would give us a note. No one would say, we're not going to make you go through this trial. Nothing.
Tammy, let me offer you this. First of all, it's one of the things that I pulled out of Illusions, which I'll never forget. And that is, if it says in there that if you want to know if your mission in life is done, if you're still alive, it isn't. I don't know the mission of the child that you lost. I don't know what it was for. I don't know. We don't know the mysteries of how God works. I can move over to the deputies and tell you this, that we have lost our humanity to a great degree as a society, and it is reflected tremendously in the work of some of these deputies. Now, it is because of the nature of that kind of work, there will be times when these people, well-intentioned, you know, pave the road to hell. And I can't call this one because I don't know stay with me now. And I can't make that call on these deputies. What I can tell you is that my feeling, my gut is that there is, in fact, I know that there is a higher power, which means there's a day of reckoning. And the injustice that you feel today, if you can wrap yourself around the belief and understanding that ultimately all things are just, that might bring some peace to you and the things that you've experienced that'll make this load that you've got, because it sounds like it's just an incredibly heavy one. It will make it easier to bear. Ultimately, you will understand why it all happened the way it did. And ultimately, you will know justice.
Right, I know that.
God's world. God's world
is my comfort. Believe me, that is the only comfort really that I have. I know that without a doubt.
And that can be. And that can be.
How can they go to court? They can lie.
I understand.
And then they're immune.
I understand what you're saying.
I couldn't believe that a police officer could get on the stand.
Yes.
And lie. And even in his police report, I counted 6 lies right off the bat. I'm like, why would somebody do this?
Happens all the time. I go into court all the time and deal with these liars, and we can't get rid of them. I talked about the problems, and those are the things to focus on. If you're aware of those things and you share those things, we can help diminish it by sharing with our neighbors how that system works and what's wrong with it, and encourage people to act better. Lying cops and judges, that less than honorable judges, make all the difference in the world. And if we haven't heard on this radio station right here, right now, one small story, although huge, but it, relative to the number of times they do this during the course of a year, it's
they yanked me
all the time
in front of my children, pulled
my
arms up behind my back. I have pain in both shoulders every single night, even though I'd like to forget about it all.
I know.
Just put it behind me. I have constant pain, and I did nothing wrong.
I understand.
I broke no law.
I understand.
I
and what I'm
acquitted. The charges were dropped. It was all bogus after the fact.
Yes. And
how much suffering just to go through the trial.
And you watch. When your life is over and you're on the other side, you'll remember back to the day that the old man on KSCO told you that ultimately you will understand God's reasoning, that all things are just. And you will have a chance.
Yeah, but I want something to be done in this world.
Right. And so do that. Do that and do what you can. Do not be bothered by what you cannot do. There's a serenity prayer.
They can pick on people that don't have a lot of money or don't have a lot of time because you have a lot of kids. You're an easy target.
You work, but you work through them. And you work from the place of, God grant me the serenity.
But you still have a KSCO radio station.
Yeah.
At least.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so.
And this is an incredible forum, which is how I ended up getting a show here. This is an incredible forum for truth.
I want to go out to every house and tell everyone, number one, keep them off your property.
Yeah.
Defense. Build a fence.
Yeah.
Build a fence. Talk to them through a fence.
Have meetings. Have
fence
neighborhood
fence
meetings.
Fence.
Write letters. Talk to your neighbors. We need to talk to one another.
Talk to our neighbors. Get to know your neighbors.
Get
your
the
neighbors,
town squares put to back doors. Together. Get gathering places put back together. Don't let the cops drive you home.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you can do.
It's all real powerful stuff.
Yes.
But there are so many other callers. We want to get to them. Tammy, thanks. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Thanks.
Sorry you've been to
and
hell
God,
back.
And God bless you, dear. You will understand all of this one day, I promise.
Thank you so much.
You take care. Here comes Barbara, who's been waiting for almost a half hour. Barbara in Aptos, you're on KSCO.
Hello, Richard. This is Barbara.
Hi, beautiful. How you doing?
Fine. But I want to tell you, Spud really misses you.
I got to get down there. I'll be down there about an hour. We'll sit there and let him go.
I want to make sure you're down there, because when we go there. We want to have fun with the game.
But you know that the neighbor ladies, when they come by there and they see that dog and I playing, they don't understand.
They're going to call animal control.
Oh, yeah. They'll be reporting me. And she's got
I think it's because of your beard. Now, a year ago when you came to the annual KSCO holiday potty, I was stunned because you had shaved it off. I'd never seen you without your very long, 15-inch long beard.
Yeah.
And now you've grown it all back. Boy, it must grow at an inch and a half a month or something.
Oh, pretty quick, yeah. Now, Barbara has this dog. He's a little Jack Russell Terrier. And I'm walking by the truck one day. They had this van, and he'd just sit up in the front of that thing. And that dog was sitting there looking with his head straight forward, but he's tracking me with his eyes. He was challenging me, pretty much. So I went over to visit him, and he started to take a great delight in barking and snapping at me through the window. So that he looks forward to coming down to the shopping center. So I can stand there and stare at him, and he can growl and snarl and bark and jump, you know. And he loves it when I point at him. He just goes absolutely bananas. Well, these people walk by and don't understand, A, he instigated this. Two, they don't look and notice that his tail never stops wagging. All they see is me, you know, some big old guy picking on this poor little dog. Now, if they'd stop and ask me, I could explain it to them. But they're so wrapped up in having made the judgment, you know, they'll just huff, 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 and away.
That's right.
But to this dog, I am one of the delights in his life is when he gets to come down there. If I'm down there, we go at it.
Spar with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So in an hour from now, Barbara, I'll be down there.
That's great. And I just wanted to say, when he steps out of the car, he's perfectly meek and mild.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Just glad to see me.
So he's... just enjoy the show, Richard.
Okay, Barbara. Thank you.
Bye.
There goes Barbara and Aptos. We have open lines at 479-1080 and 477-1340. Let's go to Downtown Al. You are on the air, DTA.
Hey, Richard. It's great to hear you on the radio.
Thank you. Always glad to be here, you know.
I only met you once. It must have been back like in early 90s, maybe 92 or something. I was a vendor at the K-Pig's Fat Fry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I remember the show was over, and for some reason I started talking to you, and... you know, you look like some sort of scruffy biker. And you're sitting there smoking a cigarette with this beautiful girlfriend that you had.
Well,
back into the trees there, and I thought, you know, I was usually friendly to everybody, but I thought, well, it's just going to be a typical biker. And I don't know how I got on the subject, but, man, you sat there like dispensing wisdom like Socrates or something. I must have spent close to an hour listening to you.
Really?
And I remember it like being dark. And... just for that short time, you really made a difference in my life in terms of, like, how I deal with, like, authorities. Because you were talking about, you know, how you were riding around without a helmet and how you dealt with the cops and creating kind of like this bubble where they would get to know you and know that they couldn't just push you around and that you could kind of create this bubble locally.
Yes.
And you told me some of these crazy stories about, you know, the sheriff pulling you over and you'd tell him, well, do you know what you're doing? And, you know, the deputy, would, you know, you could figure he was one of the new guys, and he didn't know that it was a private road, and he didn't have any business telling him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that story has to do with Highway Patrolman, by the way. But, yeah, the same thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the good cops will take that instruction, you know. It's the only ones that won't do that are the ones that are just, they're not right. You know, there should be some sort of a test to find out whether you're man enough to be a police officer before you get to, or woman enough to be a police officer before you get the badge.
And, you know, I've done that because I've really gotten into it sometimes because I had a commercial vehicle and sometimes I'd have to park it on the street here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
These idiot, what are they, community enforcement officers?
Uh-huh, yeah, volunteers.
Some of the problems I've had with them. And I just drag it out to make myself a pain in the ass about it to where they figure it just isn't worth messing with this guy anymore.
Yep. I call it the polecat defense.
Yeah.
You know, a skunk lives a relatively peaceful and safe life.
Yeah, there's an easier victim out there.
You betcha. And they just raise their tail and just make everything stinking. And everybody looks at it and say, no, I don't want to be there. They don't have long teeth. They're no ferocious fighter. Nobody wants to mess with them. And I call it the polecat defense. And that's, Yeah, that's one of my main things, is I just make it so ugly.
You miserable polecat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember Mr. Big Gun or whatever it was at the boardwalk?
Yeah.
You know, where you it was a thing there that you'd win a prize if you could beat Mr. Top Gun?
Yep.
You miserable polecat.
Yep.
You're not as fast as you thought you were, are you?
That's the one.
Gun reloaded, you ready to try again?
Yep.
You know, I think it's important for every citizen to do that. I mean, not to just be a thorn in people's side. Like, you know, if I got a ticket and I'm obviously in a parking zone, you know what the game is. You're only supposed to be there for 2 hours. You're supposed to put the meter, fill the meter. I may not like it, but I don't have any problems.
If they're right, they're right, you know?
Yeah, if they're right, they're right.
Yeah.
But when they're giving my truck a ticket, and there's like 6 abandoned vehicles laying around there that they don't even mess with because they know they can't make a buck off them, you know, that's not fair.
Well, see, now
that
this
sort
is,
of stuff pisses me off.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Al, here's the one that I got. I got a ticket about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I found moving
or parking?
Oh, no. This is I actually ventured into and dared park my ass in a closed park. There's a road down there in Rio Del Mar that runs down in front of a bunch of houses that are right on the water, and then there's this little 100-yard area where there's a parking lot, and then there's a bunch of private houses. Okay, that 100-yard area right there belongs to the state of California.
Uh-huh.
And they believe that that is a park and that they can close the beach and the view at night, at sunset, so that you're only allowed to enjoy living in paradise during the daylight hours. And I had not known this existed. To me, it was just a mind-blowing situation. And we, friend of mine and I showed up down there. It was about 9 o'clock. And there were a couple of people down by one of these fires. You know, they had this little fire pit going, and there are a few other cars parked around and stuff. Well, we kind of parked cattywampus in the sideways so we could in the parking so we could have the truck facing Santa Cruz, and we're sitting there watching the lights from the city of Santa Cruz across the top of the water and the waves coming in.
Just what you're talking about, right?
The other side of the concrete boat down there, just relaxing, enjoying some music and each other's company. And so about an hour goes by, and the people that were at the fire pit, they had all packed up and left, and a couple, I guess, homeless people were down there to get whatever warmth they could get from it.
Yep.
And everybody else that was there was gone, so we were the only people left, sitting there in the Suburban. I didn't think nothing of it. And the next thing you know, here comes this truck, and I couldn't tell what kind of truck. And they had this big light, and they shined it down on these people that were standing there by the fire, and they just suddenly moved on, and then he turned that light around and pointed it at me. And he left that thing sit there and pointed at the truck till it got kind of annoying. He's like 80 yards away, and I'm wondering, what the hell? This is rude, you know? And I thought it was maybe first alarm or something. It never occurred to me it could actually be a public official. So I get out of the truck, and I go walking up with this light in my eyes this whole way. He ain't moved. He's just sitting there with this light pointed at me. And I get up there, and he wants me to identify him myself, and I want him to identify himself. And he wants me to write me a ticket for being in that parking lot and, you know, telling me that the beach has been closed. I said, how the hell do you close a beach? Are you out of your flipping gourd? You can't close a beach. I mean, that's insane. I guess they think they can. But the short version is I got a ticket. Now, my response to this whole thing, of course, is going to be there's going to be some IA complaints flying down
there.
What's
an IA complaint?
Internal Affairs.
Okay.
This is Ranger Bob or whatever it is, one of them state park ranger guys.
Yes.
And these guys are absolute doofuses. They're not only stupid, but they're rude, you know? And in fact,
absolute stupid, rude doofuses.
Yeah. And I'm starting down that road, and I'm going to tear that boy a new understanding, you know, of what's going on the planet, him and his boss both. In the meantime, as it worked out, I was a couple days later, I was down at Target, and they had these flashlights down there. And they got one down there that's a 2 million can of power flashlight. And I looked at that thing, I said, my God, I bet you the next time that SOB will walk over to my truck, and I bought that thing, and the next time some jerk parks down the beach from me shining a light at me, I'm going to pull that 2 million can of water thing out, stick it, shine it right back at him. And it will, you know, if they decide they want to pass a law that says I can't use that, then I'll just use the mirror. But you know, they what close the beach. We were talk about not bothering anybody. We are not only not bothering anybody, we were actually sitting there appreciating everything there is to enjoy about Santa Cruz at night. It was nuts.
Yeah, just no, Richard, I don't want to take up a lot of other people's time or whatever, but I just want to say that, you know, I really appreciate that, and I've, like, used it in my life quite a bit, not just with the police, but, like, with other authorities.
Yeah.
And I was just talking with a friend who grew up in Boston, and I know with my folks on the East Coast, they used to talk about, like, a different relationship with the police. It was part of a social contract.
Absolutely.
Know? Like when they were called peace officers instead of law enforcement.
Yep.
And you look to the cop as somebody that, you know, was part of the team and
yep.
helped out in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
He was saying when he was taught, this little song was, "Policeman, policeman, dressed in blue, he's a friend to me and you."
Yeah. Ain't that something? Let's get back to it, you know?
Yeah, let's get back to it.
Busy streets, he helps us cross, takes us home when we get lost.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember all those, like, you know, my folks would talk about the cop on the beat and swinging his nightstick
yep.
and bouncing it off the sidewalk and doing tricks with it and
yep.
entertaining the kids, but, you know, keeping an eye on stuff.
Those are the guys I grew up with, and those are the guys they say that we're too big to live with today, and I don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah, it's not it's
hey,
not
hey
the
listen, guys, we only have 20
state.
Minutes. We got commercials. We got a bunch of people who are waiting here. That we
Al, thank you.
Here.
Okay.
Thanks Al. See ya. There goes Al. Now, here comes Robert. Hello, Robert.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, how you doing, Richard? How you doing, Michael?
Good, Robert. How you doing?
Hey, I've always enjoyed your conversations, Richard. You're one hell of a fresh voice to listen to. I really appreciate Michael bringing you on the air, and there's a few others that are just
hell,
like
it makes for a great Saturday special.
Well, yes, it does. It actually does. And, you know, and this subject is, you know, it's something that we should all really pay some serious attention to because, you know, our fabric of our society is really starting to get tattered here, you know.
Yep,
that's what Kay said in her commentary.
Absolutely,
yeah,
that's what
mean,
Kay
I was,
said.
I was walking by my house the other day, and there was a sheriff trotting around my neighborhood. I don't know what he was doing here or whatever. And I just happened to wave to him, you know. I just thought I'd be friendly to him, you know. And he happened to see me sitting in my handicapped van. And he walked up to me and he told me, he goes, "You don't look handicapped to me." And he immediately started to card me. He wanted to know my ID. He wanted to know what I was doing in the neighborhood, where I was going, and all this other stuff. I let him, you know, do it and everything, but it just seems that this is happening way too often, and, you know, it's almost sort of like you're demonizing anybody
yep.
now, you know? If you don't know anything about them, or the cop just happens to be fresh in the neighborhood, you know, he just starts to take it upon himself to start, you know, dispensing justice or whatever. And
talk to these. When you run into these situations, ask them if their supervisor's available and tell them you just soon not talk to them until their supervisor's available.
Well,
anytime anybody stops being reasonable and starts being ridiculous, because what you're talking about is ridiculous behavior.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And until his supervisor's aware that he's exhibiting stupid behavior, it's not going to get fixed. So when you get in those situations, if you're inclined and have the time,
right.
just ask and look, is your supervisor available? And would you mind if we don't finish this discussion until they get here? And then talk with the supervisor. And if you find out that the reason he's that way is because of the supervisor, that's when you get a hold of the sheriff and say, look, is this really what you think the people of this county want you to do?
Right.
And those are simple things that people can do. But that kind of corrective measure done enough times will have a positive effect.
Yeah,
you follow what I'm saying?
Robert, we got to go, but I hope that was helpful, okay?
Yes, thank you very much, and I certainly appreciate your show.
Take care.
Thank you, Robert.
Here comes Dave Allen here.
Dave Allen?
Dave Allen.
The Dave Allen?
Dave Allen. Hey, Dave, you're on.
Hey, Big Daddy, how you doing?
Sorry I missed your week.
No need to be, my friend.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
I was awake. I just missed it.
No, that was fine, man. I'm telling you, the people that made it, that's fine. The people that didn't, that's fine. Trust me. The minute that I looked up and I saw Mrs. Z there, the second name, third name popped in my head was Dave Allen.
Oh.
So you were represented. Both Michael came by and Kay. And, I know that getting around is tough for you these days, man.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, but, besides that, it's really weird, though. I'm not complaining, but when you're stuck in a wheelchair, you have to think a few hours ahead.
Yeah.
How am I going to get down there? When can I leave? Is there a restroom they can use? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They can't just pull over the side of the road and go plant a tree.
I understand that. I understand that, David. And I never once occurred to me that you ought to have been there any more than you were.
No, hey, Michael, you know you're getting old when all your friends are talking about normality.
Right.
You know, when pills hurt, who's
right.
jacked up, who's leaving the planet. It's like,
yep, totally.
But you know, I was listening to the program here, and it reminds me, when Quigley, going back about 12 years ago with old referee Mulligan.
Yep.
Sitting down there, cutting it up down there, the traffic session outside.
Yep.
People looking at you and me like we're freaks.
Yep.
They're sitting there like a bunch of cattle waiting to be processed. Me, you walk up, okay,
yep.
You walk out. Well, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What do you tell me? Like, when you want to get transferred to a real court with a judicial authority, they got to do it. And all the people sitting there, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
How the hell they walk out of here? Case dismissed. What? Huh?
Yep. Yeah, we did a lot of that kind of work over the years, haven't we, Dave?
Yep. Way back in the days that you and Andy and I used to have you on my Friday night show.
Yep.
Hey, Michael, back then he scared the crap out of you.
Yeah, that's right.
For a while, Quigley was even banned.
I don't think I was ever banned, but I've always, in the early days, I make most people nervous, man. I mean, come on. You got to be nuts to walk this kind of a line,
it's
you know?
It's the beard and the motorcycle and the...
Well, and the passion.
Passion doesn't...
Is that right? Because most people are really turned off by the
beards,
passion.
And loud motorcycles and cancerettes.
Yeah,
sort of.
But
yeah.
You know,
a little unnerving to me.
I heard that our buddy there, Mark Tracy, didn't even stop by to say hi or congratulations. I mean, what a weasel.
No, I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm not altogether sure that I would have been dignified in dealing with him. I'm sort of, sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. It may have been one time in his life he actually did something right.
That's totally a different guy. This guy's a different sort of guy, isn't he, Dave? Hey, thanks for calling.
Last year, the Christmas party, I always threw up my food. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a chance to do it again this year. They actually invited me again. Could you believe I get to make a repeat performance?
Well, hey, last year, is that when we had the barbershop quartet?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to have them again something, so that's good.
Well, that'll be funny. Well, listen, I'll be on tomorrow. By the way, Michael.
Yeah.
Can I use your show to finally announce the world my website is up?
Yeah, do it.
DaveAllen.com, ALAN, or Dave Allen Ministries, or get this, www.quigleylandinheaven.com. Check it out.
Quigleylandinheaven.com.
Is that where you're going? I am. I don't know about the other people.
I don't think there is anything but heaven, my friend.
That's right. If you go on my website, you'll check it out.
So your program is on at 4 o'clock tomorrow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tomorrow everybody will have Father Charlie on. He's a retired heretic, former Catholic priest. The guy's a living... This guy is so full of knowledge. Get this. In 1954, he was the youngest DA in the country. He was the DA in Santa Cruz, California. He was 25 years old, and the mob, the corruption ran him out of town. He had to join a seminary to escape with his life.
Well, that'll be a good show.
Oh, yeah. This town goes way back. I don't want to get too weird on the radio, but this town is like Mississippi North. My drift. I'm serious, man. It's sad, but true.
Oh, I know. The local politics are powerful here. People don't know that there's a room full of people that we've never met.
But like this, Al Capone's sister used to live in town. A lot of the good old boys from Chicago were sent out here to cool off back in the day.
Yeah. Dave, you gotta go. Listen, this is a good tease, but have people tune into your show for that. We got so many other people
to call. 4 o'clock for tomorrow.
Okay.
Sunday's at 4 with Dave Allen.
Okay.
Quickly, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Dave. Now here comes Jan in San Lorenzo Valley. Hey, Jan.
Hey there. Morning.
God bless, Jen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You sound even better, Quig. I think that was kind of a healing experience for you.
Oh, what? Yeah, all of that and a side of fries. I mean, I thought I was gonna die the day after. I was so worn out. In fact, I made the comment before we actually pulled it off that if having this weight didn't kill me, I'd probably live forever. It was really an incredible drain, but yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be around that many wonderful people and not walk away energized. And that'll last for a while.
Well, I noticed I bought one of those T-shirts.
Yeah.
and noticed you were born December 25th.
Huh? Yes, ma'am. How do you think I got this way?
You're a gift to us.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to read what was on the T-shirt. I think it's just outstanding.
Yeah, go for it.
I challenge other people to live to this motto. It says, for Quig, life was not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to get in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, you know, everybody should have a T-shirt like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's
they have to earn it.
Oh, you have to earn it. It's not something you buy?
Oh, you're talking about availability?
Yeah, well, I mean, what can we do?
I've got to go down and print some because there's about 25 or 30 people that have told me they want them. But
if there's anybody out there in KSCO land who wants to get one of these T-shirts, I do. I definitely want to get one, but it's got to be a pocket T-shirt.
I know.
Because, you know, I can't have a T-shirt that doesn't have a pocket for my cell phone
we've only got the one pocket T-shirt in the shop, and we're going to get that for you. But
anybody else who's listening right now who might not have known about these T-shirts, shoot me an email, and I'll forward them to Quig, okay? Because I'm just curious about how many people who are listening who might, you know, this is something unique, right?
Well, yeah, so, it says it's in memory of me, and it was printed the day of the Quig. I mean, the day of the wake, and it was, the artwork was done by a friend of mine. And for those people that, you know, want to have an in-memory T-shirt, that's I can certainly provide them.
Someone said I was given a note to check my email. I can't do that. So whoever wants me to check my email, just call, okay? Because for some reason today it's not going to happen here. But whoever wants me to check my email and read it, just call in or fax in. But you'd only have very, very long. Back to the phones we go.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, thanks, Jan. Here's Richard and Rich in Salinas. Rich, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? This is a great program today. I really love it.
Well, thank you.
Have you gotten them started on Dr. Wallach products yet?
You know, actually, my doctor has got some of that stuff in my diet, and the Zwirling family has been generous enough to see that I have a non-ending supply.
Oh, right. Way to go.
But yeah, the vitamins and minerals and everything, my healer very much liked them, and he's got a couple of them picked out that he's got me doing daily.
Okay, and so, then I got one question.
Yeah.
And that is, what do you think is going to be coming next when you finally do leave here in about 5 or 10 years?
next for him or next for us?
Next for him.
Oh.
What is his vision of what's coming?
I really don't. It's like my aunt told me. I'm passing through another door. I don't know what's on the other side, but I can tell you this. That great spirit, God, whatever name you want to hang on her, has another mission for me, and I'm totally prepared to accept it. The benefit package of the mission that I've had from this life has been super. So I'm more than happy to enter into another contract and do some more. So
all right. Well, God bless, and we expect you to be around another 5-10 years anyway.
Super.
Okay. Bye-bye. Great. Bye bye. Here comes is it Andy in Mount Madonna? Hello, Andy.
Yes.
Yeah,
can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Quig, that was a good call, that last one. I've been studying health for 50 years, and cancer is a curable disease, and I have no idea why you're dying of this at all.
Well, I don't have any idea either. We got to check with my maker and find out why, but if it's not this, it's going to be something else. And it's like I said, I haven't run up no white flags. I'm on my regiment. I'm doing everything I can, but I can tell you this, that if it's turning around, it's turning around real slow, and I'm not going to be neurotic about it. If it's my time, it's my time, and so be it. You know, I've done everything of substance I ever wanted to do in my life. So all I can do is really finish and polish what I've been doing all along by hanging around now, to be honest with you. And so, if I were 42 years old, I'd have probably gone right over to Stanford and let them do the conventional medical stuff, and they'd have cut all these tumors out, and they'd have hit me with some chemo, and they'd have hit me with some radiation, and I'd have been miserable for a year or two or three, and maybe not, we'd have got over it. But come on, I'm going to be 62 here next month. And a full life is, full life. I really lived full life. I don't know what I would do with another 10 years. You know what I mean?
No, don't say that.
Well, how about another 60 or 70 years?
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
No kidding. It's all possible. Hey, can I call you on Monday and I'll tell you some other things that you can work with your doctor?
Well, my number's in the book, and I talk to everybody that calls me.
Okay, good. I'll call you on Monday. You need a good oxygen supplement.
I got it. I'll keep an eye out for that, Andy.
Dr. Wallace got one, but I can tell you about another one that's even better. The state of the art in this stuff, okay?
We'll talk about that on Monday.
Okay, good. Don't give up at all. You got nothing to lose now.
You got it.
Big okay. Gun Gordy is our next caller. Hi, Gordy. You're on the air.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
And Richard.
Hey.
I gave it the test when I was at the wake. After all was said and done and the chairs and the tables are being put away, I went and inspected the privy, and it was spotless. I have never been to a party or an event where when you went to those latrines afterwards that, well, hey, you didn't want to go in there.
Right.
That was a testimony to the fact of how respectable people were to one another, and we had a number of common themes there, even though we had, 50 bikers, we had police there, we had old people, we had young people, we had a few pets there. There wasn't one fight.
Oh, no, not a crossword, nothing. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
You know, one of the things that I love most about it, and one of the things that will stand out, and there's so many. I mean, this one barely peaks above the rest. But when they played that audio tape that they had of me correcting that cop's behavior relative to... And you guys got a chance to find out what I actually do sometimes. It was an audio tape that ran about a minute and a half. And it was a situation down at the shopping center where some officer had come up and wanted to change the nature of our conversation, didn't want us talking about guns or whatever. And I went off on him. I mean, I just tore him up. So that thing ran till it was over, and within seconds, a uniformed police officer from Watsonville, Mike Ridgway, comes walking up, and all of a sudden, you know, I go and I see him, I start walking over to him, and everybody gets on their toes like, oh God, you know, there's probably a problem, and we're going to get to see this live, and they were all ready for me to start ripping into this cop. Had no idea that he's one of the ones that I have a deep and abiding respect for. Anyway, so I walked up and shook hands with him. The next thing you know, everybody was breaking out cameras like I don't have no friends that are cops. And I just, it's like even the people that know me sometimes just don't get just exactly where I'm coming from and how deeply held my respect is for the police.
Well, you've also put a letter in regard to that officer about how wonderful he was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Good cop, man. Good cops. That's the other thing. Yeah, you get a bad one, write the letter. You get a good one, write the letter.
Here, speaking of letters, here's the facts. Thank you, BGG.
You bet.
Appreciate your call. Gee, there's only a few minutes left here. MZ, I'm sure that the reports of Quigg's imminent demise have been greatly exaggerated, and that he will continue to be with us for as long as it be God's will for that to be so. That being said, I suggest the following tribute to Quigg upon his demise. Starting on the first Sunday immediately following Quigg's demise, and for 1 week thereafter, all of Quigg's fans will wear helmets when driving their cars. I believe that this would be much better than flying a flag at half-mast, and I also believe that this would give him a good smile as he looks down from above. And that's from Vernon.
Well, Vernon, thank you very much.
Vernon.
That's
Vernon.
Pretty cute.
Vernon. Okay, to MZ and Quigg at KSCO from Landon and Capitola. Quigg, you're some freedom fighter. Isn't life and living the ultimate freedom? My 80-year-old mother has had heart surgery and radical cancer operations within the past 18 months. That's a freedom fighter. Your 15 minutes of fame has exhausted. Slip away quietly, please. What a mean-ass thing to say.
Oh, Landon's never been a big fan of mine, and that's okay.
What a mean-ass thing. You know, this guy shouldn't even... I'm going to withdraw his listening privileges.
I don't know.
I really should do that. I really should. No, this guy is just total negative everything.
But
you know, Michael, I mean, how can this guy... Why doesn't this guy just commit suicide if he's pissed off at everybody and everything? Seriously.
Well...
You know,
I really treasure those kind of comments. I really do. It's okay with me. It says
only in Santa Cruz could a nut like Quigg get so much airtime and exposure. I'm going to laugh my ass off a year from now when Quigg's still alive. What a hoax!
Yeah, And if I'm still alive,
can you believe this, ladies and gentlemen? This guy's named Robert Landon of Capitola. And why does the guy even listen to the radio station if it bugs him so much? I think he's a nutcase.
Michael, think about living in his skin.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that we could do that would curse him any worse than that. He's got that look.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. God bless him. I hope one day his
God bless you too, Brandon. Nice man. Tammy, is that you again?
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Or is it
a different Tammy? You know what? Jeez, I realized.
You said you would go against all your rules, you said just today only.
Yeah.
Against responsibility. And you did say you wanted calls of who wants a T-shirt, so I want a T-shirt.
No,
not calls. Emails, mz@ksco.com.
I know, but you said you couldn't answer your email. So
No. Okay, you're right. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
We
have to go because, you know, it's that time. And this is the way. Thanks, Quig.
Thank you very much, Michael.
We'll talk to you again real soon here, hopefully.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Kay. Yeah. Thank you, KSCO.
That's all, folks. KSCO Santa Cruz, here's Fox News.
China needs to provide a level playing field for American farmers and businesses seeking access to China's market. The United States supported China's membership in the World Trade Organization because we believe that the cause of free and fair trade is advanced if China plays by the same global rules as everyone else.
Speaking to troops as he left South Korea, the president rejecting calls for an early withdrawal from Iraq.
They're not stopped. The terrorists will be able to advance their agenda to develop weapons of mass destruction, to destroy Israel, to intimidate Europe, and to break our will and blackmail our government into isolation. I'm going to make you this commitment. This is not going to happen on my watch.
His speech cheered by troops at an airbase south of Seoul. It followed a near rumble Friday over the war between Democrats and Republicans back home on the floor of the U.S. House. Emphasis on security as the president visits China.
When it comes to first impressions, this stuff on President Bush's Asia trip is made for them. First up for the press corps, metal detectors at the hotel. The explanation, it's to protect us. Also, the internet connection in the press room, like every other connection here, goes through an international gateway that is intensely monitored. But first impressions work both ways. First thing Sunday morning in this country, with just 5 state-sanctioned religions, the president will go to church. With the president in Beijing, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
Another deadly day in Iraq as at least 3 car bombs are reported. 13 people killed when one went off in a crowded Baghdad marketplace, women and children among the victims, say witnesses. Another targeting a funeral procession, killing at least 20 and wounding 50 more. A third car bomb is reported in central Baghdad also. Details not yet available. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Wanna learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
An earthquake off the coast of Sumatra today, 6.5 on the Richter scale, according to officials. It prompted a tsunami alert, but there's no word on any tidal waves and no reports of damage or casualties. Florida not expecting another hurricane, at least not right away, as Tropical Storm Gamma is not expected to develop into a hurricane as it threatens South Florida. The National Hurricane Center is saying the Florida Keys will be getting some stiff winds and rain from that storm as early as Monday. Jordan tightening security and its anti-terror laws to protect against more bombings. That from the Interior Minister after the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq threatened more attacks in Jordan. Meanwhile, others in that region are dismissing a statement by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi about the recent hotel bombings there.
A spokesman for the Israeli government used words like ridiculous and ludicrous when describing this latest statement, apparently from Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, which says the November 9th bombers intended to strike Israeli and American intelligence officers, not Muslim civilians.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Israel. In their weekly response to the president's message, Democrats hauled off on his fiscal record. California Congressman Dennis Cardoza calling his fiscal policies reckless and broken.
In his 5 years in office, President Bush has failed to veto one single spending bill passed through the spendthrift Republican Congress. This is a complete abdication of his responsibility as president.
Speaking of spending, House Republicans winning narrow passage of a budget bill Friday that saves $50 billion in spending, but faces a test in upcoming talks with the Senate to pass the House bill GOP leaders axed a plan to allow Alaskan oil drilling, and pro-drilling advocates in both chambers are sure to insist on restoring it during next month's negotiations. And calming winds in California good for efforts to tame a wildfire 60 miles northwest of Los Angeles, still threatening 200 homes, but so far fire officials say none have been lost or damaged. I'm Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, November 19th, 2005. I'm Chris Spencer with your weather update for today. It's supposed to be mostly sunny out there, highs from around the upper 60s near the coast to upper 70s well inland. Saturday night, increasing coastal low clouds and patchy fog spreading well inland overnight, otherwise mostly clear. Lows in the mid-40s to mid-50s. And on your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, northwest swell 1 to 4 feet at 16 seconds. And tonight, east to southeast winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 1 foot or less, west swell 1 to 4 feet at 15 seconds. It's currently 69 degrees here at KSCO. Now stay tuned for Perspectives with your host, Donald Davidson, here on KSCO.
Good afternoon.